Hello, friends, and welcome to In the Know with Exonify, your 25-minute deep dive into the biggest topics impacting the employee experience today. I'm JD from Exonify, and today we're going campaigning. And no, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about learning campaigns. You see, the biggest obstacle in learning and development in any workplace, and the main reason so many people are talking about skill gaps today, is time. It takes time for new people to learn how to do their jobs and become meaningful contributors. It takes time for employees to embrace changes to how work is done. And it takes time for people to learn new skills so they can pursue new opportunities. So I'm curious, let us know in the chat, how do you find time in your busy schedule to focus on your own development? You know, besides hanging out with us for 25 minutes every 2 weeks. The unfortunate reality is that most people aren't afforded the kind of time they need to build their knowledge and skill. And this is even more true right now as organizations struggle to hire and retain staff, especially on the front line. So if people need time to learn, but they aren't provided with the time needed to attend programs or complete courses, how can they possibly keep up with the changing requirements of their jobs? And that is where campaigns come in. We'll be speaking with Amy Wallace, Vice President of Learning and Development at Members First Federal Credit Union, who's going to help us turn off the training fire hose and fit meaningful development opportunity into the everyday flow of work. But before we say hello to Amy, let's take a look at our feature story. If you couldn't already tell, time is the major theme in today's conversation. People are already burned out. They have too much to do and not enough time to do it. You know what I'm talking about. And even people who are looking for a chance to learn something new struggle to balance their future goals with their immediate priorities. And this means people are getting even more picky about how they use their limited time. Unless it's an activity that's clearly going to help them get what they want, they're probably not going to do it. This is why so many people hide from assigned training, especially of the compliance variety. It's not that they don't want to learn or that they don't have great attention spans. They just don't have the patience for irrelevant training. It's also why L&D is so often at odds with managers who are trying to protect their team's time and attention, rebutting our offerings with statements like, well, we don't have time for learning. In fact, I was actually one of those managers back in my operations days. I needed a certain number of cast members to run the world's busiest roller coaster. And when training pulled away half of my staff, it meant my throughput was going to go down, my line got longer, and I was going to have to explain why those things happened to my bosses. And it's not that people are against learning. It's that the methods we apply haven't kept pace with the realities of the workplace. We're still looking at learning in terms of content, programs, and courses, and presentations. And it's always going to be difficult to force a square, content-shaped peg into the round hole that is the daily workflow. So instead of thinking about learning in terms of content, we should think about it in terms of time. This is how we start to shift the perspective of learning from an obstacle that people have to overcome to a routine part of everyday work. If you want to keep pace with change and close skill gaps, development has to be something people just do on the regular, just like you brush your teeth every day without really having to think about it. I hope, at least. And no, you can't learn everything you need to know on the job in the time it takes to brush your teeth. But you'd be amazed at what you can accomplish with just a few minutes of focused learning activity every day. For example, the average Exonify session is only 5 minutes and 48 seconds. And everyone is busy, but everyone also has 5 minutes. And those minutes can add up quickly. So my question for you is, what could you accomplish long-term if you took just 5 minutes out of every day to focus on your own development? That's today's feature story. Today's feature story was brought to you by Exonify Reinforce. If a course is completed, but the person can't remember what they learned 30 days later, did it even happen at all? Exonify Reinforce makes sure your employees remember the most important things they need to know to do their jobs well and execute on your business priorities. Reinforce combines bite-sized bursts of information with machine learning to personalize the daily training experience for everyone. It doesn't matter if you have 2,000 employees or 200,000. Reinforce will boost the knowledge and confidence of your organization in less than 5 minutes per day. Learn more about how you can move your employees from novices to experts in no time by visiting Xonify.com/product/reinforce. Now, I'm very excited to welcome to In the Know, Amy Wallace. Amy Wallace is the Vice President of Learning and Development at Members First Federal Credit Union in Central Pennsylvania. She oversees every aspect of the L&D function from frontline training to leadership development and beyond. She's on a quest to prove the value of learning and development by aligning agile training opportunities to business strategy in an ever complex world. Amy's entire career has been people focused. She joined the credit union after serving 15 years in public and higher education, and she holds a bachelor's and master's degree in education, as well as she'll begin her MBA this fall. Once a learner, always a learner. Amy and I actually have a lot in common. We're both pseudo Pennsylvanians. We're both avid Peloton riders. We're both part of the Xonify community, and we're both way into things that are Disney. So Amy Wallace, you're in the know with Xonify.
Thank you so much, JD. I'm thrilled to be here. Given the caliber of your previous guests, it is an honor to, in fact, to sit on In the Know. And I think, you know, my bio makes me sound a tad pretentious, but I am here as a practitioner, doing rolling up my sleeves and doing the work every day. So I'm excited to share from our little corner of the L&D world.
Great to have you. You're always raising the bar. And I know exactly what it feels like. I don't know if everyone out there has this moment when someone else reads the bio you wrote of yourself and you're sitting there going, wow, do I sound wow. Even if it's accurate, you're just something about it. So speaking of your bio, many of our viewers out there may work in financial services, but there are also some who might be less familiar with the ins and outs of that space. So I'm curious, what are some of the unique challenges that you face when enabling employees in a financial institution?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think in the financial services space, right, we run into where we are a highly regulated environment, and there's compliance to those regulations that's very important to the core of our business. And those regulations can shift and change at times. So ensuring that all of our associates are enabled to comply with those regulations is really important. I also think when you're dealing with people's money, there's a gravity to the role, right? You need to be informed on our products and services. You need to be informed on the regulations. You need to understand how to have meaningful conversations with our members when they walk in the door and help them process their transactions. I think every interaction has the potential to impact members' confidence in us and our brand loyalty. And so every interaction really is impactful. I think, you know, the focus in financial services can also shift and change with the economy, right? So it's no shock that during the pandemic, you know, here in the United States, we had an influx of cash for a lot of people. We had federal stimulus money. We had the child tax credit that a lot of people took advantage of. And so people had a lot of money on deposits, and we needed to be able to have conversations with them about the best way to use that, right? The motto in the credit union space is people helping people. So really understanding how we could help people utilize that. Now we're in an environment with inflation where it is. Thankfully, gas has just tipped below $5 a gallon, but helping people as we're watching those deposits leave the credit union, helping people prepare for their financial wellness in the future, right? There's just this space of needing to know a lot about a lot of things in a changing environment that creates an interesting dynamic in financial institutions.
Sounds simple.
Yeah.
But you at the very top of your answer, you kind of hit the bingo card response with the term, I work in a highly regulated industry. Because what's interesting is when I speak at conferences, doesn't really matter the topic, and someone raises their hand and asks a question, they always start that question with, I work in a highly regulated industry, and then they go on to ask the actual question. And what's funny is I've never met anyone who's ever raised their hand and said, I work in a completely unregulated industry. So I think that said, there's a lot of boxes to check when it comes to a complex, highly regulated environment like the financial services space. And therefore, there are a lot of training requirements. But as we talked about in the very beginning of the episode, people don't have a lot of time to get all of this required training done and do their jobs, which, like you said, constantly changing and increasingly complex, and focus on development. So how do you see the concept of campaign-based learning helping to solve this problem? And let's really start off with the kind of foundation. What is a learning campaign, and how is it different from a traditional learning program?
I love it. So if anyone has ever had the opportunity to hear Mike Taylor speak, he does a phenomenal presentation on what L&D can steal from marketing. And his is about kind of content and presentation and how we go about that aspect. But campaigns are really stolen from marketing. And when you think about a typical marketing campaign, right, when they're trying to change your behavior, right, to get in front of you, you might get a mailer, you might get a robocall that you probably don't answer anymore because your phone tells you that's what it is. You might get an email, right? You're going to see it on billboards. You're kind of surrounded and inundated by it, and that moves you to action, right? In the same way, Learning Campaign takes these traditional classroom events that were brain dumps, right? You got all the information at one time and expected to retain and apply that, and spreads it out over a period of time, kind of in the flow of your work as you're able to around helping members or doing other things in the branch. It allows you to digest the content the way humans truly process information. It is friendly to how we actually learn.
100%. So you mentioned, I think, the two key obstacles that we're dealing with today, which is how do we help people retain information so they actually use what they learn in various types of training experiences? And then how do we do that while balancing the fact that people have jobs to do in a complex environment, especially when they're customer facing, and that's where the priority of the business is going to be. So I'm curious, can you go a little bit more into how a campaign-based approach helps us solve those two particular challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's an age-old problem, right? You talk about it when you were at Disney and pulling people off of rides. It's the same space. Like, we can't close our branches down to train people. And I think in the traditional mindset of bringing everyone to a classroom, there's the logistics of how do we get people there and pull people off the line and the travel and all of that. So a campaign allows us to meet them where they are when it works for our associates. And I think in the space of ArtCon does a lot of work in the space of retention of information and a lot of great neuroscience work. And I've had the opportunity to hear him speak a couple of times. And he talks about, I love this quote, forgetting isn't the failure of memory. It's an active cognitive process, right? Like, our brains are such incredible structures, and they are constantly shedding the overload of information that we take in every day. And that is a survival technique for us all. But that also means when you're sitting in a brain dump session where everything is coming at you at one time, you're forgetting it by the time you walk out the door, more the next day. A learning campaign allows us to steal from both marketing, it allows us to steal from what we know about neuroscience, and create a spaced out interaction with the content. ART has some incredible research that looked at a core group of people who got content. And then it looked at a core group of people who had content but had some spaced out booster sessions. It had a third group, got the content, had short booster sessions. And incredibly, right, there was a statistical difference between the groups that got the booster sessions, but not a difference between people who got a really long booster session and people who had a short one. So it really was about that idea of retrieval practice, calling the information forward, that made the difference. So in a learning campaign, when we can get a variety of different modalities in front of you over time, we're much more likely to change your behavior to the actual business goal we're driving towards than just presenting it all in a classroom fashion and hoping for the best that you retain the information.
100%. Dropping great names today. Everyone, make sure to go out there, follow Art Cohn, follow Mike Taylor. Great information around the topic we're talking about today. And in my experience, this idea of moving away from a course as the foundation of your kind of learning strategy or your learning program opens the door to a much bigger set of options in terms of how we help people develop their knowledge and skill. So we can make it not just be about PowerPoint decks or not just be about Articulate modules anymore. So what kinds of activities do you commonly include in a learning campaign?
Yeah, this is a great question. The beauty of campaigns is that you can include anything you want. So as we think about campaigns, right, they can include everything from an infographic to get you thinking about the information. It can be a short introduction video. It could be, we are currently using, it's no secret that we're customers of Exonify and we leverage Exonify in that space. So we have kind of daily reinforcement questions that we use over time when a topic is presented, especially when there's a change, right? So it's not just about onboarding. It's about reskilling too. And there's these constant shifts in the business priority. So when we're trying to drive particular behaviors, we can do that through questioning. We can do that through, we haven't gotten into the podcast space, but I know some organizations are doing short micro podcasts to get information out. through job aids, things like that. For anyone who's on the call today, I promise you, JD did not pay me to do this, but he has a book coming out in November. And I have had the privilege of hearing JD present on his modern L&D ecosystem several times. Phenomenal, phenomenal presentation. So I'm sure the book is going to be fabulous, right? Comes out November. But that really talks about the least restrictive environment for training people. And I think classroom is like the last priority, right? The last space, because it's the hardest to do and it's the hardest to retain. So we've really looked at a variety of different things over the course of campaigns that can help just keep the information front of mind.
I will attest that was 100% unprompted book reference, but now I'm going to have to do this. So the Modern Learning Ecosystem, now available for pre-order on Amazon. If you want to learn more, go to jdwroteabook.com. Yes, the most ridiculous book website you've ever heard of, jdwroteabook.com, to learn more. Thank you so much for the plug. So around that theme that we've been kind of touching on of change. So change is constant in a highly regulated environment. Always new rules. You've got new financial products. You've got new processes around those products. And then especially in the financial services space, we have this kind of ongoing push to digital transformation, more online banking services and whatnot. So I'm curious, when you're applying a campaign-based approach in this type of setting, how do you decide when to run a campaign and how long and how you should focus on a particular topic for a period of time?
Yeah, so I think in the space of when to run a campaign, right, we really are looking at, I wish we had a crystal ball that would tell us everything that was going to happen through the year. And we could be very thoughtful about exactly when we roll out campaigns and how long they should be. And I would say, right, there's probably a textbook answer and then an actual practice and business answer. And so for certain things, like, for example, we know that just before tax day in April, into our branches, we will get an influx of IRA account, individual retirement accounts will come in the door and people will want to open them. And there's a vast set of regulations around those and member education that needs to happen. So we are already beginning the conversation of how are we going to get a baseline knowledge on that? What are the pieces we're going to put in the campaign? And then how do we have that wrap up and ensure, right, knowledge and confidence before the IRAs walk in the door? And in that space, it's good because those don't come in all year long, right? So there could be a long period of time before you see one. So that refresher space. I would love to say in the things we do, we can be that thoughtful. We can think, okay, next April, we need to know this. With the speed of business and changes, there are times where it happens much faster and we need to just kind of, this regulation is changing on this date. You have this much time, get it done. I think it really comes back to being laser focused on what's the behavior you're trying to drive and what's the business metric that you can use to measure that. And so I think in that space, it's about kind of aligning yourself around the organization with the business data that will help you determine if you're driving the right behaviors and your associates have the right knowledge to do what they need to do.
And you included a great point there with regards to using kind of the campaign structure to assess where are people today when it comes to this particular topic. Because like you said, sometimes there's a time-bound structure to business change, and sometimes it's just something that's a little bit more ongoing. So how do you can leverage this idea of kind of continuous pulsing and assessment of knowledge to figure out, okay, where are we? Like, how much support do people need? Are people still mastering this concept right now? Maybe the campaign's a little bit different than if you identify, well, our baseline knowledge isn't quite where we want it to be. So we're maybe going to lean on that topic a little bit more in preparation for a change like that. So I think that's a great point around how kind of grabbing the data that you need to target campaigns appropriately, rather than it just be, well, everyone gets the same content and then no one really gets what they particularly need at that time to solve the problems that they're facing. So I think that's a great point as well. I want to make the conversation even more fun before we wrap up. So let's talk about compliance. So kind of combining the idea of campaign-based learning and compliance requirements. So there are some topics have very specific requirements, including maybe you have to do certain content and it maybe has have specific seat times associated to it. But those requirements don't always match up with what will actually help an employee learn the information, retain the information, apply their knowledge on the job, make good decisions that will actually mitigate the risk that created the compliance requirement in the first place. So I'm curious to get your perspective on how a learning campaign can help you move beyond kind of check the box compliance to really focus on, like you've started by talking about, the behavior change you're really looking to see that's going to mitigate the risk that the business is concerned about.
I love it. I will keep it real here, everyone who's listening or watching this live. We do not have this completely figured out yet, right? Like, we're in a space where we're still trying to wade through this. We absolutely, from the regulator standpoint, still have yearly compliance training that must be done. We know that that is one aspect of a much larger system of controls that are in place to ensure that we stay within the regulations. I can give you check fraud as an example, right? So there are a set of regulations around ensuring that we don't pass fraudulent checks, and we provide training on that. We also have built into Exonify reinforcement questions. And so after people are kind of taking a module on, right, and that's a more traditional module, but we have these daily reinforcement questions that kind of space out over time, and they're assessing both knowledge and confidence. And that's so important for us to know, because it's one thing, right? We have a live look at across the organization who's highly knowledgeable in the topic of check fraud, but is underconfident, right? Doesn't think that they have the answers, which is good to know, because we can coach to that, right? When we look at that, we have that coupled with, we partner with a vendor who supplies us with quarterly, they comb the most common check frauds in the area, and they put together a training that people can go through, and they can do it a little bit each day. When they get to the end, it will say to them, here are the fraudulent checks you passed through the course of this, and here would be the cost to the credit union if you'd actually, but it's lifetime data and what's going on out in the environment. So we have some ongoing campaigns like that that help us understand, right, exactly what's happening across the credit union space, and then how can we work to mitigate any of that risk and understand where the knowledge lies. Certainly not perfect across all the compliance space, but we continue to look at how could we build other campaigns, kind of like this ongoing check fraud. What are other ways that we can ensure? We do have a series of other, Exonify topics that relate to regulatory topics. I think the other thing is, right, after I attended Art's session, he practices what he preaches. So he had us all, he had a mobile platform that would push us a question each day to help us remember. So you can do it on a shoestring budget. You don't need a platform to kind of check in with people over time. But yeah, we're really working in that space of, like, how can we provide this meaningful reinforcement over time, so it's not just the annual training, and we're in our infancy there.
And I have to drop a plug for an episode we did a couple episodes back with Patty Shank, where we talked exclusively about making better use of multiple choice questions.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned a couple of times how challenging people to apply their knowledge, to recall information from a retrieval practice perspective, is a critical part of sustaining that knowledge, and also giving people an opportunity in a safe environment to practice applying. And it was a great example used with regards to check fraud, of not just teach people what it is, actually ask people to apply their knowledge in a realistic, but, simulated or safe situation. So, and then I love the point of showing what the outcome of that would be. So it's not, again, just checking the box, okay, we completed the training. It's no, your decisions actually have consequences to yourself, to your customers, to the organization. And it's a great way to, I think, sell the value of augmenting compliance training with the types of things we're talking about around learning campaigns. Because, like we've been saying, that's what really leads to people kind of internalizing the content, the internalizing their new knowledge, and then applying it in a way that really makes a difference. So, but before we wrap up, I want to ask what is usually one of the bigger questions around any new learning strategy: how do you know if it works? So if you can't tell if your training is having the desired impact on performance and on business outcomes, I always say, what's the point of doing it at all? And you've mentioned the need to connect to a meaningful business metric a couple of times while we've been chatting. So we know compliance is an outcome, right? Checking a box is a measurable outcome, because there are regulators who need you to do that. But when it comes to a learning campaign, how do you know if it's working, both, while it's running for a period of time, as well as after it's completed?
I think that's a great question. We really, as a group, right, our L&D group, as we're launching and partnering with our business partners, we really are laser focused on what is the outcome we're trying to drive. So from a knowledge standpoint, right, we're assessing knowledge and confidence. We're talking about the behaviors we want to see, and all of those have a business metric around them, so we can look at that. So for example, right, in this IRA space, we'll take a baseline level of IRA knowledge. We'll be able to assess that through the course of of the, and we'll have a projected kind of an ending knowledge level. In addition to that, we'll be able to look at the compliance reports of last year. What did that look like during that season? And how do we compare it to this year to make sure that the campaign was effective? So I think it's really about knowing the problem you're trying to solve for and making sure that you have clear metrics from the get-go. I think we have the luxury of leveraging Exonify to get kind of that baseline knowledge. And one of the beautiful things, you know, JD, you talked in your intro about that 5 minutes a day. We have the ability to bake specific questions in over the course of the day. So people don't even know they're answering kind of IRA baseline knowledge. But at the end of several days, we have kind of a knowledge of, here's all the questions we asked about IRA and here's how they scored. So we definitely leverage the system for that to kind of ensure that we know exactly what we're measuring and have a target of where we're headed.
I don't know what about everybody else out there, but I think your new nickname should be Laser Focus based on today's conversation. So Amy, Laser Focus Wallace, thank you again so much for joining us today, sharing your insights. How can people out there connect with you and follow the great work you're doing?
Absolutely. LinkedIn is the best way to do it. Amy Wallace 32 is my handle, ode to my college basketball days. You can, if you search my name, I'll come up there, and I'm happy to connect and continue the conversation with anyone who may be further along on this journey or just beginning this journey of learning campaigns.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much, Amy, for sharing your insights on campaign-based learning with us today. And thanks to everyone out there for joining us for today's episode. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to give us a like and a follow on LinkedIn. You can also check out the entire collection of past In the Know episodes on the Exonify YouTube channel. But if audio is more your thing, listen to the podcast version of In the Know with Exonify on your favorite podcast app. And if there's a topic or a guest you'd like to see featured on a future episode, let us know by tagging Exonify on LinkedIn or on Twitter. And before we wrap up, I want to give a big shout out to our technical producer, Spencer Gerwin. Spencer has played a key role behind the scenes with In the Know for the last several months. He's handled all the back-end tech. He's making sure you can see and hear us on YouTube and LinkedIn Live right now. He's also controlling everything that you see on screen during the live broadcast. This is Spencer's last show as his co-op term's coming to an end this month. So Spencer, thanks for everything you've done to support In the Know. And I know you're typically behind the scenes, but can you pop on screen? Just give us a wave real quick, Spencer. You back there? Here he comes. Here he comes. Spencer, everybody. Spencer, round of applause in the chat. Thank you so much for your support. This may be Spencer's last episode, but I'll be back in 2 weeks as we dive into the biggest topic in enterprise learning and development. We're talking skills. I'll be joined by Danny Johnson, co-founder and principal analyst at Red Thread Research, who's going to show us what it really takes to adopt a skills-based approach to talent development. How do you measure skills? How do you operationalize skills? What even is a skill? Find out on Wednesday, August 31st at 11:30 a.m. Eastern when we welcome Danny Johnson. Until then, I've been JD. Now you're in the know, and always remember to ask yourself the important questions. Like, if money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? I'll see you next time. We'll be right back.